the principle of the rule of law has not received as much attention in many long years as it has at the moment, due to various global events. But far away from the corridors of power and those arguments in the West, it's no less important for ordinary people in countries like Pakistan to understand and to be able to effect and claim their rights. My next two guests here in the studio are Omar Mania and Haya Zahid, both of them visiting fellows at the ANU from Pakistan, where they work in a variety of non-profit organisations dedicated to making sure that everyone has access to their rights under the law. And they're with me here in the studio. Good morning to you both.
Morning.
Good morning.
Tell me about what brought you both here to Australia. Omar, let's start with you.
So we're here as part of the Australia Awards Fellowship that's being conducted at the ANU College of Law. And the focus of the fellowship is on the criminal justice system in Pakistan and really conducting research that can then become the evidence base for the reform agenda going forward.
Okay. And what about you, Haya?
Again, I'm a research fellow over here at the College of Law at ANU. It's part of the Australia Awards program, and it's just a great opportunity to be here at the College of Law and really meet such a diverse sort of group of academics and practitioners and learn from their experience.
Now, Omar, you just mentioned a reform project. Pakistan is, of course, a country whose legacy is the common law, the same kind of origins as ours here in Australia. But how would you describe how well the legal system functions in an everyday practical sense now?
I think that's one of the challenges that we're dealing with, which is an archaic legislative system. It is post-colonial. And we're also struggling with legal pluralism, which is some of the issues that we do have in common with Australia. So the way things are right now, there is a good appetite for reform, which is why we're excited about the outcomes of this fellowship, which is to conduct the research and then go back and make the case for reform.
Tell me what you mean by legal pluralism.
Specifically, I think the issue with most post-colonial countries right now is struggling to balance the local system that has pre-existed, the colonial system, and trying to figure out a way in which either both of them work together or to completely eliminate one and adopt the other. So for us, particularly with issues related to alternative dispute resolution mechanisms, we're looking at ways to make the local jirga and panchayat system work along with the common law system as well.
Yeah, and you're looking at a country where you go from the sort of immense sophistication of a city like Islamabad or Karachi to tribal areas where you've got people who are living under an entirely different social system and have entirely different requirements and expectations of the law.
Exactly. And aside from that, the common law system is quite inaccessible for most citizens in Pakistan, given literacy levels, given economic poverty issues. And as such, most people will tend to rely on the traditional system as opposed to approaching the formal system. So we have to find a way to make both work together.
Yeah, absolutely. To meet people's expectations about justice, however they're sort of constructed. Haya, this is also a country where there are huge extremes in wealth and poverty and in who will struggle with the system. Who's vulnerable in Pakistan in a legal sense?
Of course, a lot of our work is with under-trial, pre-trial prisoners. 80% of the population inside prisons is under trial, and we don't really have a state-funded, supported legal aid system. So anyone that comes into direct conflict with the law, there are very slim chances of them being able to effectively represent themselves. Of course, there's other segments, such as disempowered women. Women have been disadvantaged for many years. And they're religious minority groups as well that are quite isolated and marginalized and have their own set of challenges to sort of meet. So those are, in fact, the groups that we focus on in terms of seeking to raise their legal awareness and consciousness.
And without your program, I imagine that many of the people you're talking about would have no representation of any kind.
Yes, and for, you know, access to justice to have any true meaning for the common citizen or sort of people involved in this vicious cycle of poverty, the first step is really a legal aid funded program by the state and supported. And we're sort of trying to fill in that gap at the moment.
What about the work that you do with people who are already in prison systems and who are convicted?
So we're trying to provide a sort of, a first aid response to first time offenders implicated with non-heinous offenses and really connect them, more effectively with the justice system. And in most of the cases that we see, that a majority of them are acquitted and they're just sort of innocent and victimized by the system. And so there's great legal need, of course, in our prisons.
Tell me a little bit about those conditions. What's it like to be in jail in Pakistan?
Not very pleasant. The female and juvenile prison facilities are not overcrowded. But again, you know, we're talking about massive overcrowding in the adult male facilities. We have about 173% over occupancy as against the authorized capacity. So the situation is quite bleak. And again, just as Omar mentioned, that we have the archaic prison laws that date back to about, you know, 108 years plus. And that's the framework. So challenges have changed, criminals have changed, but, you know, we're still looking at sort of prisons that came up during the colonial times.
Omar, you also work in a juvenile prison offering legal services via law students. What motivated you to develop that service?
Specifically, the the law clinic that I used to run at the Hamdard School of Law was aimed at creating a sense of sympathy amongst lawyers and to catch them while they're young, before they're jaded, specifically, and create a sense of pro bono work and low bono work specifically.
Is that something that exists as a culture in Pakistan?
Not specifically. I mean, we've always struggled to find lawyers who are willing to volunteer their time. And we find that most lawyers tend to go towards commercial practice. And it is a lucrative practice in Pakistan to become a lawyer. So we wanted to inspire young lawyers while they were studying to go out and see the social impact that their work can have. And to be inspired by that, to continue that in their legacy and their journey forward.
And what sort of risk do juvenile offenders run in the kind of system we've just heard described if they don't fully understand their rights and the way the law functions? I mean, what are the implications for the rest of their lives?
So there are very few protections provided by the state, whether it's in terms of probationary services or advisory services. So juveniles that may not necessarily have the adult supervision that is essential for support often struggle to make those legal decisions that can have implications for the rest of their lives. Specifically in Pakistan, a large percentage of juveniles do plead guilty in exchange for immediate release, and that can, of course, have long-term implications for the rest of their lives. And, of course, like Haya mentioned, the prison conditions are not great. So there are very few reform programs and corrective measures as well in place.
And look, we certainly know in this country, and we talk about this with regard to Indigenous juveniles in the system and all juveniles, that if people don't receive that kind of support and help in the juvenile system, then they're so much more likely to reoffend and to be recidivists. I can't imagine how much more dramatic that must be for people who have no representation in overcrowded prisons, who are unaware of their rights. Now, you mentioned reform. I wonder from both of you what you hope to achieve in your time here. Haya?
Well, of course, this is a unique opportunity that we get. We're practitioners. We're busy on the field sort of 24/7, working around the clock. And this is just a great opportunity to step back and really understand systems and systemic challenges on the development sector side as well. And so we have access to great resources over here at ANU College of Law. We're meeting people, we're drawing parallels with the system in Australia. Of course, you know, they're leaps and bounds ahead in terms of the criminal justice system that they have. It's so developed and sort of sophisticated. But, you know, we're working in close collaboration with a lot of professors and hoping to take these learnings back. And we have access, being in Australia over here, to really understanding other comparative jurisdictions over here. So there's great learning for us to be able to take back. And hopefully we're challenging some of the paradigms too for people over here.
It's a fascinating system, that shared common law origin. It's like an enormous great tree, isn't it? And the conditions on one side of the branches and that on the other side, all from the same roots and all from the same trunk, but such different flowerings and such different conditions. Omar, what about you? What do you hope to achieve?
So my work here looks at legal empowerment and what that could mean in the criminal justice system. And like Haya mentioned, so this is a great opportunity to sit back and really analyze the system as a whole. While we're doing the work in Pakistan, we don't often get the opportunity to see the system, and we're just handling things case by case. So what we're really hoping from here is to build that linkage with academics here at ANU College of Law, as well as the other fellows that will be coming here from Pakistan. So the fellowship program actually brings 10 fellows over the course of the next couple of months. And at the end of it, we will be publishing the research in a book. So the hope is that book then goes on to become a basis for the reform agenda.
And if I could just add in that we're also hoping to create the sort of network of human rights defenders or criminal law practitioners at the end of this fellowship. And then I think we'll have close ties with the College of Law and the good folks over here to rely on for assistance and help.
Yeah. It's just so lovely to see both your enthusiasm for the law and for that as a mechanism for justice for all people under the law, for their equality, no matter who they are, how wealthy or poor they are, and and the conditions they find themselves in. Thank you so much for coming in to talk to me about this. It's been great to have you here in the studio. Good luck.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's Ahaya Zahid and Omar Manyar, who are both visiting fellows to the ANU from Pakistan. You're on ABC Radio Canberra.